But what we would say is respecting that if the young person wants to talk about it, they'll bring it up. And if they don't want to talk about it, it's that we hold back, that we respect their right to not want to talk about it, whether it went well or whether it went not so well.
Hello and welcome to our HSE Talking Health and Wellbeing podcast. My name is Noreen Turley, and I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Kieran Boylan, who is a psychologist with the HSE. Today we're going to talk about exam stress and tips for parents on how to help their children or guardians, how to help the people in their care around exam stress. To our listeners, thank you for your continued support and please share this episode. If you'd like more information about HSE Health and Wellbeing, have a look at our website at hse.ie, Health and Wellbeing. Follow us on X, take a look at our HSE Health and Wellbeing YouTube channel, or register for our e-zine by emailing healthandwellbeing.communications@hse.ie. So Kieran, back to the stress and exam stress, and it's that time of year. So I thought the first thing we should look at, what exactly is stress?
Stress is a response to demands that are placed on us. At the moment, for an awful lot of young people, there's exams coming up, which could represent a significant stressor for them. And when somebody is stressed, we can notice that they are stressed in two primary ways. The first would be physical, that there would be a physical response to stress. That might be something as simple as noticing your heart beating a little bit faster, or that your palms are a little bit sweaty, or a feeling people often describe as butterflies in their tummy. The other way would be more of a mental way, in that we find that we might be worrying or ruminating or thinking about something more than we usually would.
Okay. And so if you're a parent and one of your children comes up to you and says, "Mom, I feel really anxious or stressed," what should the parent do?
The first thing is, we've mentioned both stress and anxiety. Stress and anxiety can have similar signs and symptoms, but with stress, we generally would notice that the reaction, so both mental and physical, would dissipate or would lessen when the event that's causing stress has passed. So for the purposes today, it would be after the exams. Anxiety, on the other hand, is something that we could see persist even in the absence of a stressor.
Okay, so that's really interesting. Let's just focus around the exam stress then. And we know it's around exams and the exams are coming up. What should the parents say to the child if they notice, or the child is just getting increasingly stressed?
Noticing is the first step, as well as expecting stress, because exams by their nature are stressful situations. Things to watch out for might be irritability, maybe a little bit less tolerant than they would usually be, not as agreeable, not as forthcoming with information, seeming preoccupied or seeming a little bit disengaged with things that they would usually be engaged with, such as maybe a relationship with siblings, watching a TV show with the family, normal things that they're just seem a little bit off. For parents to expect those things, these are a normal response to the stress that's been placed upon them by the state exams.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's scary for the young person if they do feel those things and they've never felt them before. They probably do get very frightened. So how would you say to the young person, how should they deal with it?
Well, the first thing for the young person is to expect that they will have a reaction of some sort. And again, the common things that we would suggest people just try and notice themselves is that, yes, I am thinking an awful lot about this. It's taking up a lot of my headspace. And also the physical reactions, that these are things for us to look out for. And if I'm experiencing these, to know that they are normal responses to the stressful situation that I am in.
Yeah, I think that's that word normal, that they're normal responses, is really important. And I suppose that it will pass.
Absolutely. This is, again, with stress, it's tied to an event or a stressor. In this situation, it is the state exams, which will be beginning the first week of June. And depending on each student's timetable, will last for a couple of weeks, after which the exams will be passed.
Yeah. And the expectation that the child puts on themselves, or the young person puts on themselves, and also the expectation of the parents, this can really add to the stress.
Absolutely. And you raise a great point there about parents also. And for parents, parents can also experience additional stress related to the exams, for parents to notice that they might experience the same responses to exams as their children do. In addition, for the parents, can be a little bit more difficult because they have less control, as if it were them themselves doing the exams. What we can inadvertently do a lot as parents is that we can heighten the stress that the young person is experiencing by placing our stress and maybe our anxiety onto them.
Yeah. And often you hear a lot of parents or people saying, well, when I did the exam, this is what happened, and they relive it over and over again. And so that must be difficult for the child, rather than acknowledging this is the situation for the child or the young person at this time. This is their experience. It's not the parents' experience, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, in ways we can relate very well if somebody shares an experience of their exams, but it is crucially important that we remember that it's their unique experience. So nobody will have the exact same experience of the exams. And it's having respect for, yes, my experience might have been good, bad, or indifferent, but my young person may have a very different experience. And everybody's response to stress is different, and everybody's experience of exams will be different. There's no right or wrong. It's just how it is. But that we're respectful and understanding of the uniqueness of everybody's experience.
Yeah, and I suppose one way of helping with that maybe would be to listen to your young person. And what other strategies could the parents put in place to make it as less stressful as they can?
There's a few things. Parents can play a crucial role, both from a practical perspective, but also from an emotional perspective. Maybe to touch off the practical one initially, and this is something that a lot of people focus on, is things like helping with the organization and the planning. So like having a visual timetable printed off that, for example, on the first day, I might have my English paper, and that when that's done, the materials that I use for that paper are no longer needed. So we get rid of that clutter from the space that the young person is studying. At an even more basic level, supporting them with their nutrition so that they're adequately hydrated, that the young person is eating as well, because a lot of young people can resort to just taking in lots of caffeine and energy drinks, but really a balanced diet with real food and whole foods will help for what is the marathon rather than the sprint of the Leaving Certificate. Other things that can be supportive are support with sleep, encouraging them to go to bed after a period of winding down, finishing their study or finishing their exam for the day. Encouraging them to get fresh air. Some gentle exercise can also be helpful in managing the stress and getting an escape from what can be an all-consuming endeavour for the couple of weeks that the exams are on.
Yeah, and look, this is a HSE Health and Wellbeing podcast, so looking after the young person's health and wellbeing, all of their health and wellbeing. Another thing that I looked at as well was somebody was saying about getting comfortable space for the child and a little bit of privacy, because if they're so wrapped up in the exams that they're coming up, and like you say, they could be irritable, they need that bit of space just to be able to step away and to do their study in a quiet space, if possible. You know, it's not possible for everybody to have a study room or anything, but just to some space within the house that's their own.
Absolutely. And again, where possible, and what we're always saying is making the best of the tools that you have at your disposal. So if somebody can have a private room that's maybe well lit, that's going to be a huge advantage for them. If not, it's making the best of the space that is available. So with the other people who are living in the house, it could be parents, guardians, other family members or siblings. It's that, well, can we leave this space empty for X amount of time so that the young person can have a quiet space to either do their study or just to do normal things, relaxing, watching their favorite TV program, away from talk about the exams or whatever it might be.
Yeah, that's true, because sometimes you expect the young person to want to talk about the exams, and the parent maybe will want to go through every single detail with them about the preparation. And sometimes if the young person says, well, I don't want to talk about it, I guess that's okay to, and you mentioned respect. So to respect if they don't want to talk about it at that particular time.
Absolutely, Noreen. And that's where we see the crossover from the practical support over to the emotional support.
Okay.
And a link also with the parent's own stress and potential potential anxiety that by not being in the exam hall, parents, they don't really know. So the most natural thing to do is ask how it was. But what we would say is respecting that if the young person wants to talk about it, they'll bring it up. And if they don't want to talk about it, it's that we hold back, that we respect their right to not want to talk about it, whether it went well or whether it went not so well, that it's something that they don't want to talk about right now. And that's where taking your cue from the young person is really important, from that emotional awareness point of view of the parent, that, oh yes, they're a little bit quiet, for example, or they're even more irritable. A simple sentence like, you don't seem yourself. If you would like to talk about it, I'm available. That's an invitation to the young person to open up if they wish, and also if they don't wish. But either way, they know that there is support there for them.
Yeah, that's it. Just making sure that they know that you're there and that you're respected. And if they do want to talk about it, but if they don't, that's okay too. And maybe in 2 weeks' time after the exams that they want to go through it. And I like that idea that you said, well, if you do your English paper, then you move that materials away, or those reading materials. So that's gone, that's done. And then you just move on to the next thing, you know, which is, I think, is a really good tip, because there can be a lot of clutter around a desk.
Absolutely. And the reality is that after that paper is completed, it is in the past. So we can acknowledge the effort that we've put into it, and whether it went well or went badly, it just goes to another place for now. And we're focused on the next task that's at hand.
Yeah. And the other thing, Kieran, what about young people who put a lot of expectations on themselves and they really are aiming for top level courses, but they think this is the only thing I want to do, and, you know, they're striving so hard to get it. What would you say to them if they have a fear of failure?
Well, for any student, regardless of what their expectations are, the idea of not reaching those expectations can be really difficult, and that can add to the stress levels that they experience. While I would suggest for parents and guardians of those children and the young people themselves is focusing on what you can control and being really disciplined with that, exam by exam, and even within exams, is that you're fighting for every mark, because the examiners, they want to reward people. So working as best you can, and if something doesn't go well, it is in the past, but the opportunity is the very next thing that's coming up. When the exam period is passed, for anybody applying via the CAO, there will be a change of mind option, so people can change their options. But in addition, there's lots of different options for people to pursue further education if that's what they wish to do. So that can be via all the different options, right from university to PLC courses. And it's talking to the career guidance teacher or a trusted adult about the options that may be available.
Yeah, and there's so many options available now, and there's more and more coming along every year. So it may take you a little bit longer to get where you want to go, but you will get there if you want to get there. And it's just about realizing that there are loads of options. We hear lots of stories from our friends or colleagues who started off with one career and have changed their careers many times over their lives. So it's important for kids to know that the one thing doesn't define them.
Absolutely. And the leaving certificate can feel like an all-consuming thing, because it is the culmination of 14 years in state education. Because of that, we can often struggle to see life beyond the leaving certificate or life beyond school. But the reality is that there is a great big world out there. For some people, that can be scary, and for other people, it can be great to get past. But engaging with the world thereafter is the task that everybody has. And there's loads of different routes, from employment to further education, that people can engage in. Disappointment for people who don't achieve what they would like to achieve is difficult. But again, what is controllable is what you do with that disappointment and making the best of the options you have. So if somebody has a specific career in mind, there's lots of different routes to get to that end. And what we would encourage young people to do, because neither do they have all the answers, nor should they have all the answers, is to speak to an appropriate person. So a career guidance teacher in their school is usually a good one, or a trusted adult who can maybe help them figure out what options are available to them.
Yeah. And another thing, Kieran, was self-care during exams. And what would that look like? What do we mean by self-care for young people?
So self-care is a thing we hear about an awful lot, but it's basically the idea of looking after yourself. And for a young person, looking after yourself could be as simple as doing very normal things, such as watching their favorite TV program for a while, engaging in some mindfulness activities, such as going for a walk, some mindful breathing, whatever they have trialed before and they found is useful to them. It could be having a chat with your friend. It could be going for a swim, whatever it might be. It's what helps fill your energy bucket rather than take it away. Because engaging in study is difficult and that depletes our energy. We want for young people to feel as good as they can going into their exams. And if we don't engage in self-care, then it's likely that they won't be at their best. So the antidote to that is things that fill up their energy bucket. Even a very simple conversation is something that can fill up a young person's energy bucket and put them in a better place to manage the marathon of the exams. And it's important for me to add, with any of the tools or techniques that I've mentioned, more of which are available on the HSE, Jigsaw and Spun Out websites, is that there is a skill component to all of these activities. So with any skill, they take practice to become good and to become proficient at them. So if we expect that we might need them, it would be prudent to spend some time learning these skills before the exam period actually begins, because what can happen is that we don't use the skill until the moment where it feels like a crisis, and then our ability to engage in it is compromised. So giving yourself a chance to practice, whether it's the breathing, whether it's the walking, whether it's the grounding, and loads of other things that will work for different people, it's practicing them before time so that there's an element of familiarity with them when you really need them.
Yeah. And supposing if we have a young person going into an exam and they do get that feeling, you know, their hands are sweating, their heart is racing and their tummy feels a bit sick or they have that butterflies, what would we say for them to do in that moment? What would be the best advice for them?
In that moment, the best thing that somebody could do is to ground themselves in the present. So quite often when we're in that state of mind, we're thinking of the expectations or something in the future, but the future hasn't happened yet. So what we have is right now. So taking a moment to notice the things that are around them, things that they can see, things that they can smell, things that they might be able to touch, and then trying to reconnect with their breathing to slow their breathing down somewhat to get back to a grounded state.
Okay, so go into the exam hall, sit on your chair, try and slow down your breathing, look around you, hopefully it'll be quiet in the exam hall, and just be present in that moment.
Yeah, even something as simple as noticing, can you feel your 2 feet on the floor, yourself in the chair, your elbows or your hands on the table? Simple things like that, and then thereafter that we get into a process-oriented state. So thinking about my first task will be to write my exam number on the page. So I'll do that, and then I'll read the exam questions. I'll choose the questions I might do, and then I get into my actual answering of the questions that have been posed.
Yeah, so that's very good. So take what you can control, like write the number, write your name. You know you can do those things. You know you can read through it. And just hopefully by that stage, you are now in the present and you'll be able to continue as best you can through the exam.
Exactly. And again, it's continuing with that right the way through the exam, that we just time after time, we bring ourselves back to right now. What can I do right now?
Yeah, that's really good. I wish somebody had told me that. Yeah. Okay, Kieran, for our listeners, I thought maybe what we will do just to round it, because we're coming to the end, if we just talk about those practical things, because it's over the next couple of weeks now that people are going to find this handy. So if we talk about, say, for example, the night before the exam, what would we advise people to do?
So the night before the exam, it's keeping things as normal as possible so that they have their food, they have their hydration, They have chances to do normal things as well, even if it's just for a few minutes. Particularly with the first few exams, there can be a tendency for people to spend every waking hour focusing and preparing for the exam. But for the young person, it's that they spend some time preparing for the exam, but then that they come away from it and do some normal things. So it could be for a young person who's interested in sport, a parent or guardian or sibling could do something like, if it's hurling, just poking around with them for a few minutes. If somebody's interested in something else, it's that they spend time doing that, that there is, even the night before the exam, that there is a little bit of balance, that before bed, that they have time to wind down. Because if a young person spends however long they spend studying and then expects to go straight to sleep, it's unlikely that that will happen. And then the young person can worry, oh, I'm not asleep yet.
Yes.
I should be asleep. So it's given time that this is my cutoff time for my work. And this is the time I'll spend winding down or doing normal things or talking about something completely unrelated to exams to give myself the best chance then of having a good night's sleep. The people in the family can also be a great support at this time in providing that space if somebody wants to talk about either the exam or something completely unrelated, or to support, because a lot of people won't be in a position where they can walk or drive or cycle to a place they can get a break. So even that support of, would you like to go for a drive? Would you like to go for a walk? Would you like me to bring you to the shop? If possible, that it's just a break away from the all-consuming aspect of what the exams can be.
Yeah. And I think what you said there earlier as well about printing out the timetable and making sure you know what exam, that you've checked the exam, you know which one is tomorrow. So that would prevent any confusion as well, I suppose. And then the day of the exam, the morning of the exam.
Yeah. So waking up the morning of the exam, it would be entirely normal for a young person to wake up and be extra nervous or be worrying about the exam. And with that, we can often find that people don't have an appetite. So what I would recommend is that people have their normal morning routine, whatever they do, but that they do try and take in some food or some nutrients. It can be easy to eat things. For some people, it could be a cereal or a banana. Is that they get some fuel into them to allow them to perform to their best. Again, having it prearranged how they're going to get to the exam venue, that gets plenty of time, allowing for traffic or other things that may go wrong. As well, having a think about what works for them when they actually arrive at the venue. So for some people, it might work best for them to arrive early and have a chat with their friends or somebody else who might be there. And for other people, it might be that too much talk beforehand can actually add to the stress that they experience. And if that is a young person's experience, it's coming up with something else. So can I listen to music? Can I go for a walk in the close vicinity of the exam venue? All things that keep it, that it works as best as it can for them.
Yeah, I suppose, and it's just respecting what's going to work for that person. And if it is the walk, or if it's chatting to friends, or if it is going in kind of 5 minutes before or 10 minutes before, so they don't have too much chatter around them, you know, that's true as well. Some people won't want to go in too early. So that's really, really good.
Absolutely. And within friends groups as well, it is that understanding that how I prepare for my exams might not work for somebody else. So just given time and space and the irritability that I mentioned earlier from parents and guardians towards children and vice versa, it's that that applies within friends groups as well.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking about as well was, you know, make sure your bag is packed the day before, that you have your pens, your erasers, all of the different things. If you're doing tech graphics or whatever you're doing, that you have everything in your bag, that you're not in the exam hall and you're thinking, oh, I forgot this or I forgot that, you know.
Absolutely. And this is something that parents and guardians can support with, of something as simple as making to-do list of what I need to bring with me. This is something that can be done in the days before the exams begin and then just ticked off as they go. And it might seem like a very basic thing, but when we are stressed, our ability to think of those things is compromised. And if we're spending our time running around, oh, where's my calculator? Where's my protractor? All of these things drain our energy or take energy out of our energy bucket, which in an ideal world, we will keep as much as possible for the actual exams themselves.
Oh, that's great, Ciarán. And if people wanted to find out a little bit more about techniques or tips on exams, stress, where would you advise them to go to?
Yeah, so there's one of the great things about the internet and the services that are available now is that there's lots of information and lots of support out there. So if you or a young person in your life is worried about the exams or worried about getting worried about the exams, you can look up websites such as Jigsaw, Spun Out, and even the HSE.ie website has a dedicated section for young people and those who are involved in the lives of young people that can be looked at. For young people who would like some further support, there's a service from Spun Out that's a 24/7 text service where if you text hello to 50808, that can begin an anonymous chat with a trained volunteer at any time. There's also further supports that are available, which can be found on yourmentalhealth.ie.
Okay, that's great. So there is support out there. And I suppose it's to say to the young people, if they do want to talk about it, that to have that conversation with a parent or a trusted adult, and they'll try and support you in whatever way they can. So to our listeners, thank you very much for your continued support. As I said earlier, please share this episode. And if you'd like more information about HSE Health and Wellbeing, have a look at our website at hse.ie. Follow us on X, take a look at our HSE Health and Wellbeing YouTube channel, or register for our e-zine by emailing healthandwellbeing.communications@hse. Thank you very much for listening.